Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham taking you up to 9-15 before we hand things over to Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler. They'll get you warmed up for game one of the Nats' 12-game road trip. They got series coming up all on the West Coast against the Giants, the A's, the Dodgers. Tonight, though, Nats and Giants. Trevor Williams set to get the start for Davey Martinez's squad. First pitch set for 9:45. As always, you can hear all of the Nats games right here on the home of the Washington Nationals, 106.7 The Fan. If you're just now tuning into the show, first of all, shame on you. I'm kidding. If you had something to do, you're picking the kiddies up, you're getting a late afternoon or late evening gym workout in. I respect it. You missed my conversation with Sean Sharif, though, the co-host of Sean and RJ, the Morning Drive show out in Dallas on 105.3 The Fan, giving us some real tremendous insight into what the hell is going on right now with Dallas. It feels like there's a lot of controversy going on when it comes to contracts. Obviously, the fan base there, the team there on edge and emotional after their early playoff exit against the Green Bay Packers. Sean, though, just a tremendous interview. If you missed any of that, you're in luck. You can go on the Always Free Odyssey app, use the Odyssey Rewind feature, and go back to the 7:45 segment to hear my conversation with Sean Sharif. I want to get back on the burgundy and gold, though, because as I continue to mention all night long, 17 days away from night one, round one of the NFL draft, and Washington is going to make a pick in the first round that changes the trajectory of this franchise, 110%. We know quarterback is the biggest position in need here for Washington. We know receiver is a position in need. Corner, edge. That second biggest position in need, though, I think we all can agree with this, is the offensive tackle spot. Now, new GM Adam Peters out at the owners' meetings in Orlando was kind of bullish on what Washington already has at the offensive tackle position. They re-signed Cornelius Lucas, who has been just steady Eddie, and probably one of the best moves that Ron Rivera and company ever made was bringing him into this organization. He was asked by some of the reporters, it was Sam Fortier, actually, the Washington Post. Sam asked him, would you be comfortable with going into the season with Cornelius Lucas and Trent Scott as your tackles? And Adam Peters said, yeah. I'm going to take that yeah with a grain of salt. Trent Scott did play well in that game against San Francisco when the Niners came here, so there's that portion of it. And then there's just knowing what Cornelius Lucas is, and I think they're not being facetious about that. I wouldn't be stunned if he was one of your starting tackles this year. I would prefer it be on the right side because I'd like to draft the left tackle, but beggars can't be choosers. Offensive tackle, though, despite having Corn Lucas and whatever you think about Trent Scott, is a massive need. And I think in order for this young quarterback to come in here, hit the ground running, and have the ultimate success and reach that potential and that ceiling at the position, he is going to have to be protected. And the one thing that I continue to talk about with these young quarterbacks coming out, J.J. McCarthy, if it's going to be him, had a really good offensive line at Michigan and wasn't having to throw under duress a lot. Michael Penix had a damn good offensive line at Washington and wasn't under duress much. Jaden Daniels, his left tackle, is going to be a top 10 pick in next year's draft. So he was well protected during his time in college. Drake May, you can say the same about him with that 2022 tape. Each of the guys that you draft, ideally, you'd like to have them well protected. And I understand that you're at the top of the draft, you have the number two overall pick. It's hard for a young quarterback to enter the NFL with the ideal set of circumstances, but you want to make it as comfortable as possible for that young quarterback, which is why, to me, you take Jaden Daniels, you take Drake May, you take McCarthy, whoever you decide to take with that number two overall pick, I would be banging on the table if I was the scouts, if I was the offensive coordinator, Cliff Kingsbury, if I was the O-line coach, Bobby Johnson, I'd be saying, go get me our franchise left tackle in the first round. How do you do that? You package picks 36 and 40, and you go up and get you a tackle. 36 and 40, based on the Jimmy Johnson chart, should get you to around that number 17 overall pick, that 15 overall pick. Because of the premium on the tackle position and because of how strong the tackle class is, it may not get you that high realistically. You may only get with 36 and 40, as I rapidly try to pull up the order of the NFL draft, with packaging 36 and 40 to go up and get a tackle, you may only get to pick number 21. You may only get to pick number 22. I don't think you'd want to trade with the Eagles, but you get what I'm saying here. You may get to Minnesota at 23. I think the sweet spot for you is if you could somehow, this is what's tough because other teams need tackles too. I would want to get to 18 where Cincinnati is. Because I think Cincinnati, what they did this offseason at tackle, bringing in my man from New England, and I blank on him, the big behemoth of a guy. Why am I blanking on his name right now? They signed the former tackle of the New England Patriots. They've got two massive tackles out in Cincy. That is not a need for them. So for them, they're looking at wide receiver heavy. They can go receiver at 36 and 40, or they can package 36 and 40 to get back up into round one and get the receiver of their choosing. That would be my sweet spot. If you can get up to 18 and potentially get, you know, a guy like Olufoshanu, I think may be available at that point. Maybe Amarius Mims takes a little bit of a slider. You can get him potentially at 18. Fuaga, I don't know if Fuaga drops that far because he's people are high on his potential and what he could turn into. But you get what I'm saying here. Tyler Guyton, that's the guy that I really love. 6'8", massive freak that could just move. That's the guy that I would like there. But considering Washington's needs, would you trade up to 36 and 40? Is it worth giving up 36 and 40 to secure yourself a left tackle? Because there are ramifications and consequences for trading 36 and 40. Realistically speaking, if you trade 36 and 40 for the tackle, that's no wide receiver until at least round three. That's no cornerback until at least round three. That's no edge rusher until at least round three. Are you willing to make that sacrifice if you were the Commanders? How bad, how desperate are you to get your number two overall pick, a franchise left tackle? I think that's the question here. We'll throw that out on the MGM National Harbor Lister lines. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. I feel like if you're Washington, tackle is a massive position of need for you, and you need to find a long-term answer there. If you are Washington, does it make sense to trade 36 and 40 to go get an offensive tackle? Because realistically speaking, that's no wide receiver for you till third round. That's no corner to the third round. That's no edge to the third round. Is that worth it for you? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. I listed off some names of tackles that could potentially still be there on the board. On the flip side, I think we're in a spot where we're going to see, I don't want to speak in hyperbole, 7, 8, 9 tackles potentially go in round one. The guys that are going to slide into round two, realistically, maybe round three guys, because these guys are going to continue to get pushed up the board because of the premium surrounding that position. So you got to be careful here. There's no guarantee that you get a day one tackle at 36 or at 40. And because that position is such a premium position and so necessary to the success of your organization, I may be willing to pair both of those picks to go get the tackle of my choosing. Because although you have Corin Lucas to lean on, how long do you really want to lean on Corin Lucas? No shade at him. But it just is what it is. If you are Washington, is tackle that much more important than the other positions in need? Because one can make the argument that, yeah, tackle is important, but it's not worth risking getting another starting wide receiver, which I think we desperately need. Because going into next year, and I've said it multiple times here on Overtime, going into next year, there's only one wideout in this receiving room that I actually trust. And if you're talking about an air raid offense, you need about 3-4 of them, right? So are you comfortable going in with just Terry McLaurin? Because based on what you saw from Jahan Dotson last year, how can you trust him? How can you look at him as a viable option? Not saying you should give up on the kid, but to not have some type of insurance policy for him would be organizational malpractice. It just would be. If you trade up for the tackle, you can't get potentially a guy like a Ricky Purcell at 36. You may not be able to get a Keon Coleman or a Ladd McConkey or a Xavier Leggett. Those guys may be off the board then. Or those guys will be off the board then if you decide that, hey, I got to give up 36, I got to give up 40 to go get the tackle. The Athletic did a 3-round mock draft earlier today. And we'll go through it here real quick. They did a 3-round mock, and it honestly would represent really, really good scenario for Washington if it ended up going this way in the 3 rounds. They have Washington going with Drake May at number 2. Blech. Sorry, Max. I just don't think he's the number 2 overall pick. I don't think he's worth it. The tape's too inconsistent. But then he has Washington not trading up, but staying put at pick number 36, and he's got them taking Penn State edge rusher and hometown hero, Quince Orchard Cougars finest, my boy, Chop Robinson, with that number 36 pick. The reason I say my boy, and hopefully we can pull some strings and get Chop on here before the draft starts, I played with Chop's brother, JB, at Montgomery Village. He's a Montgomery Village chief. He a chief. Talking about Chop Robinson. So the idea of him coming back home is awesome. And I can, and it's not just because of the helmet. I can see him carving out a Micah Parsons type of role in this Dan Quinn defense. So that would be interesting to me. If Washington can get him at 36, like this mock projects. At 40, they have the kid Kyren Amidiche. I can't really pronounce it. Logan Paulson says it a hell of a lot better than I do. But the offensive tackle from Yale, a guy who is a physical freak, a little bit raw, but has the traits to be a long-term answer at the position. That is a guy that could potentially be available at pick number 40. That matters. So if you're Washington, do you package 36 and 40 to go get your tackle, or do you stay put so you can get an edge rusher or a corner or the receiver of your liking? We're going to keep conversation going on the NFL draft. Our guy Ryan Fowler, draft analyst for Bleacher Report and the Draft Network, is set to join us coming up next here. He'll give us his thoughts on some potential options for Washington coming up at picks 36 and 40. But before we get to that, I want to play some audio here on the other side of this break. Logan Paulson, former Commanders tight end, dished on Cole Turner, a guy that's been fascinating since he's been drafted here to Washington. We all have had high expectations for Cole Turner, but they haven't come to fruition. With Cole Turner being in this Cliff Kingsbury offense, how does he project? We'll hear from another tight end, Logan Paulson, on that next here on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We got longtime NFL draft analyst Ryan Fowler of the Draft Network joining us coming up next to talk about some options for the Commanders at 36 and 40 and whether or not he thinks they should trade up for an offensive tackle. All that coming up at about 8:35. Right now, though, I want to keep the conversation relative to the NFL draft. Same question at hand on the MGM National Harbor listening lines. Would you trade 36 and 40 to move up for an offensive tackle? Now, obviously, people are going to say, well, yeah, I'd do anything for an offensive tackle because of the importance of the position. If you trade 36 and 40 to go get a tackle, that's no receiver till round three. That's no corner till round three. That's no edge till round three. All other major positions of need for Washington. Now, if you stay at 36, you can get everything that you want. So there's two sides to this, and I understand both of them. The one thing that you also would have to skip out on if you traded up for tackle is it probably means tight end is off of your board completely in the draft. Not a super tight end heavy draft. There are a couple of guys in the mid rounds that I think have the chance to be okay players. But the star of this tight end class is Brock Bowers, and after that, significant drop off. With what Washington already has at tight end, I'm not sure it's that big of a need. Because I'm a big fan of Cole Turner and Armani Rogers, the guy who's coming off of Achilles surgery from a season ago. They had big plans for him last year in this offense, but it never came to fruition because of the injury. Hopefully, Armani Rogers is available to go when the offseason program starts. But the other guy I'm most intrigued about is Cole Turner. Logan Paulson, co-host of the Take Command podcast, had this to say when he joined the John Kime Report earlier today about Cole Turner's future here in Washington.
Yeah, I think this will be a really interesting opportunity to see how the staff develops him. You know, he's a guy coming out of Nevada that I was always a little bit on the fence about because I wondered about his tightness, like his hip tightness. Like it's made it hard for him to become a proficient blocker, right? But could he kind of develop into a role that is becoming more common in the NFL with kind of this big slot where you're in a two-point stance, you're blocking safeties, you're blocking linebackers, you don't have to be in the same kind of bent position. He showed a tremendous amount of physical courage, you know, 2 years ago when they had him basically playing like a move fullback piece. Mm-hmm. So that makes a lot of sense. And San Francisco's got a lot of miles out of Jennings up there, kind of making that role work for them. It's like, it's an interesting role because you're essentially a tight end, but the defense has to match you in nickel. And so it gives you an advantage. So can he be that player here? Potentially, because I do think he has some route running savvy. I also think it's extremely important for him because he's not the best separator to build a relationship with the quarterback and say, my superpower is my arm length and my catch radius, and I'm always open.
It's light. It's tight end Logan Paulson talking about, almost like that's light end. That's tight end Logan Paulson. Talking about Cole Turner and what opportunities he could potentially have in this Cliff Kingsbury offense. It's a topic that I feel like hadn't been addressed enough. I do think Cole Turner is one of the big beneficiaries of Cliff Kingsbury coming here to Washington. I really do think in terms of that big slot role like Logan talked about, this is the offense where you can carve out that role. If Zach Ertz is a better player at this point in his career than Cole Turner, then Cole maybe needs to reevaluate what he does for a living. I'm tired. I want to say I'm tired of it because I love Cole Turner. I think he's a great dude. Always super nice to me out at the park, giving me time for interviews and et cetera. But this is the year for Cole Turner. I truly believe that. In training camp, he's a damn demon out there. Every year since he's been drafted, he has been one of the stars of camp. Is this the year that it translates to the field? I hope so. I don't think tight end is as big of a need as some other people may think. I know Grant Paulson is a big Jatavion Sanders fan. I'm not. I think he is a cat where his role is going to be very specific in the NFL. I don't see him compete much as a blocker. I think he's a big slot exclusively. As Logan just alluded to about Cole, and I pointed this out to Logan during that season when we were doing our show together here on The Fan. Cole Turner is a tough ass. In terms of him being that move tight end back in 22 and having to perform that sift block, laying his face into the backside defensive end, he did it every time. He was a lead blocker on some plays, and that's not even the strong suit of his game. Because he showed us what Logan called it, that physical courage as a blocker, I think he's got the tools to become a damn good blocker. It's about trying to highlight him as a pass catcher moving forward. Is what I'm more concerned about. And I think in this offense, Washington going to have the opportunity to do so. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will keep talking all things NFL draft. Our pal Ryan Fowler, one of the lead draft analysts for the Draft Network, is set to join the program. We'll get his thoughts on what the Commanders should do with.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
That number two overall pick and some later round picks at the cornerback position, receiver position, edge rusher that Washington could potentially be looking at. All that and more coming up next here on The Fan. Welcome back. It's overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham taking you up to 9-15 before we hand things over to our coverage of Washington Nationals baseball. The Nats playing the first of three straight series on the West Coast tonight. Game one of a three-game series against the San Francisco Giants. Trevor Williams on the bump for D.C. It is a 9:45 first pitch. You can hear all of the action as you can all season long right here on the flagship station for Washington Nationals baseball. 106.7 The Fan. I know we mentioned we got our pal Ryan Fowler of the Draft Network coming up here momentarily, But as I'm scrolling through my Twitter timeline, I'm sure Ryan may get a kick out of this as well. It's the Raw after WrestleMania, and I am a wrestling mark at heart. And when I say a mark, that was actually a really strong word. I'm no Chris Russell-level fan, but I pay attention when I see stars of my childhood return. Watching The Rock last night gave me just absolute goosebumps. And right now he's on the Raw after Mania. And Mad Max, we gotta get that on in the studio here somewhere, man. I may want to tap into it at some point. Right now, though, I want to go out to the BetQL guest hotline. It's where we find our pal Ryan Fowler. He is an NFL and college football analyst for the Bleacher Report and the Draft Network. You can give him a follow on the old X app at _RyanFowler_. Ryan, what's going on, my man? How are you?
I'm doing well, Vanell. Always appreciate having you on, man.
Yes, sir, man. I wanted to talk a little bit about the NFL draft with you. Obviously, 17 days away from night one, round one of this thing. As we get closer, an inch closer to the draft, we are seeing and hearing more and more about other quarterbacks rising up the board. It felt like when this process first began, it was a two-horse race for that number two overall pick and that second quarterback off the board between Jaden Daniels out of LSU and Drake May out of UNC. As we sit here now 17 days out, if you can put on your GM hat, do you think it's just a two-quarterback race for that second quarterback off the board, or do you think a J.J. McCarthy or a Michael Penix may enter that conversation depending on how each team feels about the guy?
Yeah, I think you're right, Linnell. I think you've pumped back to October, November. It's Caleb, and then there's a little bit of a gap, and then there's Drake May. And we've heard these guys' names for a long, long time, not just here when they were at Carolina or for obviously Caleb at USC or Oklahoma. We remember guys in DMV. I remember Caleb at Gonzaga slinging that thing around for years and years and years in the middle of D.C. But I don't expect a Michael Penix to be in that conversation at two. But wherever you have J.J. McCarthy on your board, move him up. You know, just a couple months ago, this is a guy late round one, early portions of round two. He's a guy that teams value below Bo Nix. And then now we're sitting here just a few weeks away from this thing. And it won't be surprised if this guy goes at three, guys at four or five.
Yeah.
Or potentially see what Washington wants to do at two. If that's their guy, then they're going to get their guy. But I do think it is a three-horse race, really, at the top. Or you got Caleb at the top, but then Drake and then Jaden Daniels. And Linnell, bottom line, the draft starts at two. Yeah. Whatever Washington does at two, they stay at two and get their guy. Or they potentially move back. I don't think that's going to happen. I do think they're going to take a quarterback at two. Now, is that Drake May? Is that a Jaden Daniels? I expect it to be one of those two guys. It's just they keep extremely tight lips out there in Ashburn, and I can't get a gist of where they're going to go. But I think either guy is going to have a plan for both guys. Coaching development is so darn big in the process for all these guys, Linnell. But I'm just excited to get there. You know, this thing's been so long, talking about these guys for so long. I'm finally ready to get these guys in some helmets in the NFL atmosphere and let these guys play ball in September.
What do you think of and make of the narrative out there that Drake May and J.J. McCarthy would be best served sitting for a little while before getting their shot?
Yeah, so for me, I think there's a little bit of prospect fatigue going on with Drake May. He is my QB2 in the class. There's a little bit of a separation for him and Jaden Daniels for me. I think there's a lot more context as far as if I'm an NFL GM, an NFL head coach, an offensive coordinator, as far as what I would need immediately around Jaden Daniels and how I'd have to evolve my playbook for him as a guy that's, you know, going to play at 195 pounds soaking wet, even though he weighed in 200 plus pounds at LSU's pro day.
Yeah.
I don't know how many peanut butter jellies or burritos that he was eating, Linnell, before his pro day, but he is not going to play at 200 plus pounds at what he did at LSU. So, at the end of the day, Linnell, this is, for Washington's perspective, really, this is such a major franchise decision for what they're going to do at two. And if you get a guy like Drake May to where the surroundings, we talked about it a couple of years past with Sam Howell, with all the NFL talent he had around him was great. And this year was not good for Drake. And I think the biggest thing that separates me with Drake and Jaden Daniels, and even J.J. McCarthy, obviously, to where Michigan ran the ball a ton. The projections there for him and intermediate efficiency, that's fine. But with Drake, the understanding of when to step up in the pocket and take a shot and make a throw and always going to tuck and try to outrun defenders. Now, that may work at LSU for a guy like Jaden to where he's outrunning guys at Vanderbilt or Mississippi State, and obviously a couple times against Alabama where those pursuit angles were outrun. But you're not going to do that consistently against the athleticism on the edge, second, third-level defenders at the NFL, and they're also going to lower that shoulder and hit you. Now, that's going to happen to every guy, Linnell. We know that. But for me, for Drake May and J.J. McCarthy, I'm not sitting them. We don't live in a day and age where you really can afford that to sit them for a year. So I'm bringing them in, and I'm letting them play right away, absolutely.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see. I know a lot of polarizing thoughts out there about both of those two quarterbacks, talking about May and McCarthy. It feels like, and you maybe agree with this, Ryan, McCarthy has been kind of a late riser in this process. When you talk to folks in these NFL circles about why McCarthy is shooting up the draft boards, what is the number one thing that you continue to hear?
Yeah, I think it's leadership. But for me, I need more than just a leader. Because there's a stereotype that surrounds guys that are leaders under center. I'm not going to go into that. Yeah. But when I look at J.J. McCarthy, as far as from a projectability standpoint, I like efficiency. And the teams that preach efficiency and they preach accuracy because, as you know, Linnell, people love the big arm. They love if you can run fast and expand a playbook. But God forbid you play the game manager role and be efficient and accurate with the football because that's just a day and age where everybody wants the Lamars, the Patrick Mahomes, the Josh Allens of the world to where you can bring in a guy to mask your inefficiencies on your offense. Now, I don't see J.J. McCarthy as a guy for me if I'm a GM and I'm taking him in the top five. I'm not touching J.J. McCarthy in the top five or the top 10 if I'm a team because I want somebody, if I'm taking them there, using that draft capital, that can mask inefficiencies of my offense around him, offensive line, separators on the outside. But the main thing with J.J. Linnell is just his ability to project him, working those shallow to intermediate areas with efficiency, with accuracy, and understanding just flat out what he's looking at pre-snap and an ability to just diagnose the defense, stick his back foot in the ground, and rip it to multiple levels quickly at the NFL level.
It's going to be fascinating to see how he translates. I know the pro day was really strong for him. I know the combine, he made some believers as well. It's going to be fascinating to see. He's another guy that, you know, I'm curious to see what he looks like when it's not the ideal set of circumstances for him in terms of the talent that he played around, that he played and had around him. I think you can say the same thing about Michael Penix as well. The one thing that is interesting to me about this draft, Ryan, is we know the strength at offensive tackle. We know the strength at wide receiver. Which run do you expect to happen first? The run on offensive tackles or the run on wide receivers?
I think the run on, I'll say this first. I think the run on receivers is going to come later portions of round one, early portions of round two. Okay. So I do think the run on tackles, once whoever that first guy is, I do expect it to be Joe Alt. Whether it's at 6 or 7 or whether it's at 9 or 10, I do expect it to be Notre Dame's Joe Alt. But once he comes off the board, that run on offensive tackles, really offensive linemen in general, because I do expect Graham Barton from Duke to go, even though he's played left tackle for 3 years consecutively for Duke in the ACC. He's projected as one of the top centers in the class alongside Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon, who is my top center in the class. And I do expect him, if he's there, I don't expect him to get past Dallas in the middle of the 20s on day one. But I think the run on tackles is absolutely, it's really going to be a 3-day event with these tackles. And now I think it's a historic class. I think, you know, on some other shows, I've said there's going to be tackles in the 4th, 5th, 6th round you can grab that you could evolve into a day one starter. And I'm not kidding. You know, the Roger Rosengartens of the world from Washington, Delmar Glaze from College Park up in Maryland. I mean, there's guys in every single day of this class. So I do expect that run on tackles to go. And they're going to be potentially 7 or 8 guys that you hear on round one that are going to be able to play tackle at day one of the NFL.
That's got to be music to the ears of Washington Commanders fans out there, man, knowing how big of a need tackle is here in D.C. We talked about the tackle position a little bit with guys that are going to potentially be available after the first round. I gave this scenario earlier, the idea of Washington trading 36 and 40. If they package those two picks, Ryan, how high can they get up in this draft? And then if they do make the decision, right, to trade up for a tackle in round one, it means you don't get to get a receiver until round three. You don't get to get a cornerback until round three. You don't get to get an edge until round three. Who are some guys in that range at those positions? And then where do you think 36 and 40 would get Washington?
Yeah, I think if you package those picks and you move up, I think you could get to the late teens, and I think that may be a spot to where you could grab a Tyler Guyton from Oklahoma. He's been one of my favorite prospects in this class. Now, I know he's lived on the right side, and I know there's a lot of Washington Commanders fans out there that don't want to see Andrew Wiley ever suit up in the burgundy and gold again, and that's fine. But Tyler Guyton has the athleticism, absolutely, to slide over to the left side. But if we're talking, you're moving into 36 and to 40, whether the Commanders prioritize, they want to go quarterback, they want to go tackle, or they want to go edge, corner. The corner class is really interesting, Linnell, because this is by no means last year's class, obviously, when Washington prioritized Forbes over guys like Christian Gonzalez in the class. We'll talk about that another time.
Yeah.
I'm excited for Forbes moving into 24, but obviously, you know, there's a lot of expectations for the kid. But I think as you move into that 36-40 spot, Jordan Morgan from Arizona, Kingsley Suamatia from BYU, and then there's the corners to where you're not going to have a Quinyon Mitchell, or you're not going to have a Terrion Arnold or a Kool-Aid McKinstry. It can't hit those top-tier guys. Yeah. But then that second tier is really going to be interesting to where Adam Peters prioritizes the TJ Tampas from Iowa State. Yeah. And then it gets really nickel-specific, Linnell, because yeah. Mike Sanders still, I love him from Michigan, but Washington drafted Quan Martin right. in the second round last year. And you're not drafting a nickel in the second round. And right. Jerrion Jones, I really like. And you ask Jerrion, he'll tell him so. He'll tell you, hey, I lived at nickel, but I can play on the outside too. And then you got Andrew Phillips as well that's nickel specific. So that second tier, if you will, Linnell, of corners, I'm really interested to see if Washington prioritizes that because they brought in Michael Davis. They brought in James Pierre, who I think is going to be a camp body. But you look at the body types,
yeah.
and they're all 6'2", mm-hmm. 195, 200 pounds, long arms, similar body types. And I think I look at a TJ Tampa and what Joe Witt wants to do on the outside and play physical inside the contact window, let the front four get home. That's an interesting name to keep an eye on there in the top 50 is TJ Tampa out of Iowa State. That isn't perfect. Want to see him improve his eyes a little bit more. But overall, a physical guy, a physical athlete that's an alpha on the perimeter, he really wants to get after people inside that contact window.
We're going to get nerdy here for a second because I'm going to ask you about a guy that most people don't really know about and that, quite honestly, I'm not too familiar with. But he fits that body type maybe that Washington's looking for. The kid Kyrie Jackson out of Oregon, talk about measurables and what a Dan Quinn cornerback looks like. He's got it. What range do you think he can go in, and is he a guy that you think can come in and compete to play right away?
Absolutely. I think Kyrie's a top 65 guy for me in this class. People forget that he was a highly touted recruit, spent time down in Saban at Alabama before going to Oregon. And Linnell, you're exactly right. I mean, I was excited to see Kyrie down at the Senior Bowl. Showed up, competed against the best talent in the country, especially showing up against these wide receivers down there in Mobile. And the showcase format is really tailored towards these receivers to make these corners look silly. And Kyrie, you mentioned the length. You mentioned the foot quickness. I love his eyes. I love the ability to also stack and shed on the perimeter. Now, I'm not drafting a guy in the top 50 picks as a corner to see what you can do in the run game. I need you to cover. I need you to be a zone corner, work downhill like Kyrie can. But also, I need you to flip and run. And I think Kyrie can do that. But also a similar guy, Linnell, is Cam Hart from Notre Dame, who I've really fallen in love with in this process and gotten to know very, very well. He's just someone you want in your locker room right away. Long, physical, fits the mold as far as what Joe Witt wants. And if I'm sitting there and both guys are on the board and Adam Peters wants a corner for this room, a potential high-level CB2 or potential low-level CB1 down the road, we'll see. Cam Hart and Kyrie Jackson both on the board. You could just throw a dartboard and hit one of them, and I'd be very happy with that selection.
Ryan, I want to ask you a little bit more about this edge rusher class. And if Washington does decide to stay at 36 and take one, who are some guys that will be there? And then if they don't, or if they do decide to do what I said and package 36 and 40, who are some guys there in that round 3, 4, 5 area that may be worth a shot at the edge rusher position?
Yeah, the edge class is interesting. I think it's a little bit underrated just because, you know, you don't have a Will Anderson in this class. Leitu Latu from UCLA is even a throwback type of body. He's extremely technical. I even think back to when we evaled Ryan Kerrigan out of Purdue or George Karlaftis a couple of years ago out of Purdue. You know, he's not going to be a sexy edge rusher. He's not going to run 4.3, this hybrid 235-pound Micah Parsons, Dallas Turner, but he's flat out a technical understanding ability to get after people inside, outside, shoulder, and win with strength. But at 36 and 40, I really like Chris Braswell from Alabama. You're going to play him, plug and play right away because he's as physical as anybody in this class as far as his hands and establishing the edge in the run game. So you have no issue on early downs. And then you can work behind guys like Dorrance Armstrong and Cleveland Farrell if you have to early in your career. So Chris Braswell's a name. And then as you work back in the middle portions of the draft, rounds, late round two, round three, round four, Austin Booker from Kansas, if he stayed at Kansas, Linnell, he would have been a top 20 pick next year. Wow. So you want a kid that you're willing to just bring in as a ball of clay at 6'4", 240, long, pass rush repertoire, deep as anybody in this class. Maybe not deep as Lotsy, but extremely deep. I'm looking at him, a guy in Gabriel Murphy, who played right alongside Lotsy at UCLA these past couple of years. I absolutely love his game as well. And then if Adam Peters wants an explosive kid, there's a sleeper out of Colorado State, Muhammad Kamara, that was excellent down at the Shrine Bowl, Linnell. And maybe he not be a sleeper for some, but he can absolutely play. And if I want someone, maybe that poor man's Chop Robinson that will go top 35 for me out of Penn State, he's someone, Muhammad Kamara, that's going to flat out threaten the outside shoulder of offensive tackles, extremely quick in his career. And I also want to say this, Linnell. Mm-hmm. When I think about guys that consistently threaten the outside shoulder, I think about Chase Young coming out of Ohio State, where he consistently wanted to win as an athlete, and he was not refined as a pass rusher. Muhammad Kamara has no issue putting his hands through your chest plate and sitting you down and embarrassing you in front of your parents in the stands. So, look, round four and five, I'm interested in an explosive edge rusher as well, Muhammad Kamara from Colorado State, in addition to Mick.
It's going to be fascinating to see what Washington does. A lot of intrigue around the quarterback position, but as Ryan just told us, plenty of good options in rounds two through five as well for the Commanders. We'll do it again soon, Ryan. I appreciate you giving me some time.
Thanks so much, as always, Linnell.
That is Ryan Fowler, college football and NFL analyst for the Bleacher Report and the Draft Network. Make sure you give him a follow on the old X app at _RyanFowler_. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. Show getting ready to wrap up. Coming up in the next half hour or so, in the next 20 minutes or so. So we got Nationals baseball coming up at 9:15 here on The Fan. When we come back, though, we'll switch things from the gridiron to the hardwood. About a week left in the NBA regular season. We'll tell you who are some contenders and who are some pretenders as we go around the NBA next here on The Fan. One final segment to go here on this Monday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge Movement, Linnell Willingham, taking you up to 9:15 before we hand things over to Washington Nationals baseball. A lot going on in the world of sports. I'm worried about the run after WrestleMania. Mad Max, 15 minutes away from the start of the national championship game.
We're almost there.
I am super excited for that. I am super ready to go for that one. Purdue and UConn get ready to tip off coming up at 9:20. Before we take a more in-depth look at that, I am trying to take a spin around the NBA, man. No games on tonight because the big brother of the NBA, or the big brother of NCAA basketball, the NBA, taking tonight off, giving their guys the full moonshine tonight, as you'll get to see Donovan Clingan and the UConn Huskies go up against Zach Edey and the Purdue Boilermakers. I am absolutely ready for that contest to get underway. Before we get to that, though, NBA right now, that last week of the regular season, it's always amazing if you're able to have big-time intrigue surrounding the game. That's what we have right now. I was worried about it going into this playoffs and this postseason, how the injury bug would hurt certain teams. Right now, SGA on the shelf for Oklahoma City. There's a situation and scenario where we've seen Joel Embiid just now being able to come back from injury. We got massive, massive news earlier this afternoon, and it really, to me, is going to change the entire complexion of the Western Conference, but the entire NBA. Karl-Anthony Towns, after missing the past couple of months with a knee injury, is expected to return back to the lineup before the end of the season for the Minnesota Timberwolves, and if he is healthy, the Minnesota Timberwolves are going to be the biggest threat to the Denver Nuggets out west. I genuinely believe that. If you pay attention to the end of the year last year, when, or maybe it was earlier this year after a Timberwolves-Nuggets game, Nikola Jokic and other Nuggets teammates referred to Minnesota as the most difficult matchup they had to go up against last year in the postseason. And I think, wow, that is, it's a hell of a compliment, right? It's a hell of a compliment to that team. If they're healthy, man, what Naz Reid has done in Cat's absence has been phenomenal. Mike Conley bringing that veteran presence to the team. Rudy Gobert is the presumptive favorite right now for the Defensive Player of the Year award. And it just really feels like, man, this is a time where the Nuggets obviously are considered the favorite out West. But if Cat's healthy, I do think Minnesota has a legit chance to come out of this conference. I really do, though, think it's a four-team race right now in the Western Conference. It is the Nuggets. It is the Timberwolves. It is the Mavs. It is the Lakers. And then there's everyone else. Obviously, I would have the Suns and Pelicans as maybe like honorable mention teams out West. But I really do feel like this Western Conference is a four-team race. And I think all four of those teams that I just listed, talking about Minnesota, the Lakers, Denver, as well as the Dallas Mavericks, all four of those teams I think have an equal shot of coming out of the West. I don't think Denver is far and away better than the rest of their competition in the Western Conference. I really don't believe that. I don't think that they are better than the rest of the Western Conference. I just don't. It is a situation to me where if healthy, we saw and know what the Lakers can do. Lakers, the hottest team in basketball right now, as far as I'm concerned, or one of them. What they've done here down the stretch during the most important portions of the season has been phenomenal and unlike anything that anyone could expect. They're healthy right now as well. I know LeBron missed. I believe he missed last night with flu-like symptoms. Anthony Davis dealing with an eye injury. As soon as you say they're healthy, you realize they're not. But it's little knick-knack injuries. It's nothing that's going to, in my opinion, impact them once the postseason starts. The big question right now, if you're the Lakers, is how do we avoid the play-in tournament? Is it possible for us to avoid the play-in tournament? They're a game and a half back of the Phoenix Suns, who are the sixth seed right now out West. The top six teams missed the play-in. And get their regular seeding. 7, 8, 9, and 10 will battle for that 7 and 8 seed in the West. It's a tight race. Lakers take on Steph and the Warriors tomorrow night, I believe, and that's a huge game because L.A. currently holds a game and a half lead over them. Suns and Clippers in action tomorrow night, so the Suns trying to do their best to maintain that 6 seed status. It's going to be a hell of a finish down the stretch in the Western Conference, but those are the top four teams that I think are the biggest threats in the West. I look at Luka and Kyrie, though, and what they've done. Mavs are rolling. Winners of 14 out of their last 16. Kyrie and Luka combined for 85 points, 14 assists, and 16 rebounds yesterday. They're a really talented group, and I feel like with that group, because they were able to add Gafford, because they were able to add P.J. Washington, at the trade deadline, I really do like their chances. People are going to look at me and say, well, how do you omit Oklahoma City, who is fighting right now and going to guarantee that they're one of the top three seeds in the West? SGA is an MVP candidate. I just look at their lack of size, and I feel like that's going to be their undoing come postseason time. That's how I feel about the Western Conference. A little ancillary note about LeBron and the Lakers. LeBron rumored to opt out and seek a no-trade clause in his contract coming up this year, this summer with the Lakers. He's got a $51 million player option. Rumor has it that he's going to opt out of that. I would do that if I was LeBron James and put the pressure on Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka to improve this roster around LeBron, who is not taking any step back here in year 21. It still feels like he's right in the prime of his career. I think if you're the Lakers, you got to feel like, look, man, do what we can to keep LeBron happy. If it means getting Bronny, go do it. But I don't know, man. It's going to be fascinating to see how the regular season finishes. I think LeBron and his decision this offseason will have a lot to do with how they finish in the postseason. That's going to do it, though, here for this Monday night edition of Overtime. You can keep the conversation going with me on Twitter. It is at @NELL_BTP. Big thank you to Matt Max behind the glass, keeping us up to speed. Nats baseball coming up next. 12 in a row on the road for the Curly W's. Charlie Slows, Dave Jagler up next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.